Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back, welcome back. I'm here with my co-host, Carol Peterson, and we have a fun show today. What we have done, but it's also very profound. It's based on something we spoke about 4 weeks ago. It was the article in the New York Times, February 5th, on hormone therapies and an inability to get the care we need or the information we need to create a healthier pre- and post-menopausal life. It was quite an interesting article. It had very good research in it, although the research was somewhat incomplete. And the conclusion at the end of the article, the person writing it went on the synthetic hormone patch, and it was low-level birth control pills. And that was disappointing to us because she hadn't even gotten any information at all about natural alternatives. She had actually been turned down by many doctors to even explore the issue. And that was very frustrating to her. Carol, are you there? Well, not yet. So what we did and what we recorded Dr. Moshe Dekel, and unfortunately he's so busy he's not able to be with us in the daytime, so we recorded him in the evening on what he thought about this article and what he thought about female hormonal health. And that'll be about 35 minutes, and we'd love to listen to it. We'll listen to it with you. But then when that's complete, we want to go directly to you. You must have questions, and lots of them, because we've discussed this issue twice, and we were not able to take phone calls because the issue was so broad. Just to introduce it and to frame it out so people could understand it, it took the entire hour. Carol, are you here?
I am. Can you hear me?
I sure can. You're loud and clear.
Oh, good. I've been on. I don't know why you didn't hear me earlier.
Oh, okay.
Very strange, but our trusty Reggie may have done something.
So make it work.
To make it work in the background here.
Uh-huh. Well, that's...
So we're going to be hearing...
When he's there.
Yeah. So we're going to be hearing from Dr. Dekel. But do you mind if I make it a little announcement at the start of the show on another show we did?
Yes.
And then we'll move to Dr. Dekel. And I'm going to say, I'll make this announcement...
Remind people at the end also.
Yes, yes. Okay. So... Jeff Bowles was with us.
Who we all loved.
Yes, and he was speaking about his COVID book, his puzzle pieces to COVID. And he offered his book as a premium. And we were going to make this happen for a $20 donation.
I think 25.
No, I'm pretty sure it was 20.
Okay.
And well, could be either way. Let's take either. So we've got a little bit of a snag in how this is actually playing out. But Jeff suggested that we ask our viewers to go directly to this email account. It's called bannedcovidbook@gmail.com. And if you have donated already to WBAI, he will send it out immediately. If you have
this afternoon.
Yeah. If
that would be great.
If you have not donated, it's not too late. And let's have you go to 212-209-2950. What the heck? Let's say $25. Please donate and then use the email just to have the book sent to you right away. We'll save a lot of time and a lot of hands in the stew, as they say.
So this is the honor system. And the book, I can tell you, I read it. I learned a lot about my body, a lot about history and history of viruses, and a lot about my immune system and how to support it. It's all of the above. It's definitely worth having and definitely worth reading and worth more than $25. What happened was we're going to use up all our time. He published it in book form, and then they blocked it because it had so much information on COVID. So the number to call and to donate is 212-209-2950. And what is his email again? And he'll get it out to you today.
It's called bannedcovidbook@gmail.com. So you can also donate online, give to WBAI.org, become a WBAI buddy. We would love to have even a small donation every month that we could rely on. And I'd like to also give the number out, 212-209-2877 for call-in. After we listen to this short interview with Dr. Deckel, we'd like to have a discussion on menopause issues and how it's affecting us and what barriers that you've found in your own life. So we'd like this to be an active discussion.
Yes, many of my dog wants to join the discussion also. So many of you are suffering with symptoms and have really nowhere to go to get answers. Well, let's have a group discussion. The number to call, 212-209-2877, and you call in about 30 minutes so we have enough time to get to you. And then the number to call to donate for this wonderful book, it's 212-209-2950. That's for the donation. Okay, we're going to go right now to Dr. Deckel and hear what he's got to say on this issue.
Welcome back. I'm here with my favorite doctor to talk about hormones and hormonal issues, Dr. Moshe Deckel, and welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here, as usual.
Yeah, it's an interesting time because although we think we've made it through, because it's been so many years, we think we've made it through understandings of ourselves and our bodies, and yet we're still at the beginning. We discussed this article. This is an article that Carol brought to our attention a couple of weeks ago, and it's by Susan Dominimus and she's a staff writer for the New York Times magazine. And she's talking and she brings up about menopause. Now, we spoke about this earlier, but it's such an important topic that I wanted to get more than one or two opinions on this. And so I sent this article to Dr. Dekel to see what he thought about it. And he had some interesting insights that I wanted to share with you. So, Dr. Dekel, this article was, it was called A Vicious Cycle, and it was in the New York Times Magazine, February 5th. So what do you think?
Well, yes, it is an important topic. The fact that the New York Times Magazine is devoting a nice-sized article to the subject is definitely to be recognized and applauded. It also emphasizes the magnitude of the problem, because the author of this article is definitely a woman who's pretty savvy, knows the ins and outs of how to get things done, being a reporter. And here she is, hitting her head against the wall because she cannot find a solution to her issues. That's mainly because she's talking or knocking on the wrong doors, unfortunately, which is conventional medicine. And I think the article is very interesting, very revealing. I don't agree with everything that she is saying, especially one of the contentions that if this was a man's issue, quote-unquote, the solution would have been found a long time ago. Okay, I think it's just a sign of our what's going on in the country politically and otherwise. So the cry is definitely there, and we should listen to it. But more importantly, I think we should educate our public by giving the right advice and straying away from doctors who don't know what they're doing, or doctors who are telling you, well, live with it, or it's normal for your age. It's time to have a frank conversation, and that's why I believe this is very important for us, to actually tell women and men, okay, what can be done, because a lot can be done. Menopause should not be suffering, should not be a time in life that women are just so stressed, unhappy, and just... It's not a good way to live. So I'm very happy you decided to bring this this to the forefront, even though, as you mentioned, we've talked about it many times, but obviously not enough, and obviously not enough people heard what really they can do in order to be well and be happy and healthy in their life.
Well, so many people have such... a bias, and that bias was created by the Women's Health Initiative and saying that hormones are dangerous, and so they're afraid of hormones. This woman, Susan, talks about someone she really respects in the as a journalist, and she just quit her job, and they said, well, she asked her, well, why did you quit at this point? You're just at the peak. You're just rising in your career. And she said, menopause. I was losing my words. And that is possible, but there are solutions. And there are powerful solutions that have minimal risks to them that are not being explained to women. I remember when the Women's Health Initiative happened. I think, yes, that's actually how this show started, because the Women's Health Initiative happened, and they were talking about all these dangers, and they did not differentiate between natural hormones and synthetic hormones. They did not differentiate between progesterone and progestin. So they were making all of their statements based on female horse urine hormones and progestin, literally chemicals that would fit on receptor sites that were hormone receptor sites, hormone sexual hormone receptor sites, and block action. And then they were saying that there is this tremendous risk. And nobody was talking about the alternative, natural hormones, and how natural hormones wash out of the body and have minimal risk and do not sit on the receptor sites for 13 weeks. And progesterone, they talked about clotting, and whereas progesterone is an anti-clotter and it helps dilate the veins and the arteries so there could be a better flow. And so nobody was talking about that at all. And everybody that was being interviewed, the head of the Menopause Society, would be in the middle of his talking, would be talking about progesterone and progestins. He'd be switching them back and forth like they were the same thing. So I found that so upsetting. I called Bernard White and I said, please get me on the radio. I have to talk about this. This is horrible what they're doing. And people were calling my office crying because they didn't know what to do.
That's right. I remember it vividly. So what happened is Premarin came crashing down from sales of one of the highest drugs ever prescribed in the United States. Came down, I think, 2/3 of volume. Doctors were inundated with phone calls. They didn't know what to do with it. Everybody got scared. So, as a result, doctors stopped prescribing it. And who suffers? The patients. I absolutely share your point about progestin and progesterone. And just to clarify, for years, I was certified OBGYN for years in conventional realm before I turned holistic. When I prescribed something like Provera, I thought it was progesterone. Once it talked, it was progesterone.
Mm-hmm.
I never stopped to question, if it's progesterone, why there's another molecule on top of the progesterone. Why is hydroxyprogesterone acetate instead of just being progesterone? Well, obviously the economic reason. Obviously, it has to be. They have to be able to patent it. That you cannot patent hormones. They're made in nature. They cannot patent nature. Thank God. So what they did, they changed it. And this molecule is not a good one. But yet, doctors even today are being taught that. Progestin, which is hydroxyprogesterone acetate, is progesterone. So the whole educational track of OBGYN is flawed. It's riddled with Big Pharma's agenda. Unfortunately, patients are not getting better. So we have a little voice here. We're going against the grain, against the flow, but the science is behind us, so let's everybody just look at the data. Look at the good books that are actually written 30 years ago by Dr. John Lee, by others, Jonathan Wright. Studies after studies, the right ones show that women who take natural biological hormones correctly will have less chance of breast cancer, uterine cancer, that women who take nothing. And yet they have a life. They don't have hot flashes, they don't have vaginal dryness, libido is okay. They don't lose muscle mass, they don't subject themselves to higher rates of dementia, etc., etc., etc. So
reduce diabetes, reduce bone loss. And like you said, and enhance sexual life. And she went to a doctor and said, well, you know, my libido is down. And he said, well, hormones aren't just for libido. They're if you need them. They're not for libido. Well, hello, they're for all of the above. They're for libido and you need them. because one of the signs of low hormones is a low libido, is vaginal dryness and vaginal cracking and burning and itching. Those are the signs. She went to doctor after doctor and found that they were very uncomfortable talking about this subject. And she said, well, who should I go speak to?
Well, it's just such a good point that you're just raising, because if OBGYNs, if board-certified obstetrician gynecologists are uncomfortable talking about sex with women and men, they should not be practicing medicine. Simple as that. Go train yourself. Retrain yourself. Because actually, when I look at my training, I wasn't trained with that. It's not even talked about. I don't understand it, because this is a specialty. Someone specializes in women's health. So you need to tell me, you don't mean to tell me that libido and sexual health is not part of women's health? And men's health by inclusion? Well, I think differently.
There we are, and women are going to doctors for guidance, and most of them have not had any training in menopausal therapies, pre- or postmenopausal therapies. And, you know, so women are kind of classified as complainers. They can't sleep, their skin itches, they feel a little depressed, and they're worried about their bones, or their memory isn't their best, and they're kind of written off. But yet, there is a very specific treatment that has been well documented for treatment of perimenopausal and menopausal symptoms, which include all of the above.
Exactly. But the thing is, if the experts don't know what they're talking about, what are all these women who go to conventional medicine are going to be doing? That's why the article was written. So what's the alternative? The alternative is to find doctors who actually, number one, know what they're talking about. And not just doctors. I mean, we're talking about nurse practitioners, nurses. We're talking about PAs. We're talking about naturopaths. I mean, in fact, I bet you you have more naturopaths knowing more and talking much more eloquently about menopause than probably doctors.
Well, they have courses in it. They're trained in it.
Yeah.
Whereas doctors, even to this day, are not really trained in it. They have no understanding of those changes that happen naturally to women as they reach this age, as they begin to age. Oh, well, it's just a natural part of aging. Yes, but we don't have to suffer through it.
That's correct. And, you know, if you look at nature, other species of animals, usually they die when they stop or they lose their ability to procreate. Humankind, we still live 30, 40, 50 years past our ability to procreate. That means what? That we're supposed to live in agony or being unhappy about everything we just talked about? No. We just need to find the right information. The issue, one of the issues that I find, is that the time that conventional medicine doctors have available to spend with patients, and menopause, perimenopause, postmenopause, is not an issue you can discuss in 6 minutes. The allocated time that usually patients get, if they get to see the doctor, and therefore, not only they don't know, they don't have the time. So it's a losing proposition to start with. So I think that what we need to talk about is the right approach, the right education, the right information, so patients can read it, inform themselves, and they can make the right decision for themselves because they know.
Well, there has been so much misinformation that is connected to menopause and postmenopause and hormones and their risk factors. When you really look at that study, the Women's Health Initiative that came out in 2002, that was stopped instantly. What happened was they read the statistics wrong. And they totally wrote up different risk factors than what existed. There was less than 1.1% difference in breast cancer rates, and there were certain groups that had lower breast cancer rates. And women became terrified that if they were on hormones, they would get breast cancer. So there they were with incorrect statistics, incorrect information, and literally jumping off of their hormones and from hormones to norhormones. Talk about hot flashes and discomfort. It's amazing, because once you stop instantly, your hormones, your hot flashes come back with a vengeance. So you have to kind of, if you decide to go off of them, you go gradually off. But these women stopped instantly and were calling their medical practitioners for help, and nothing was available. What they were given was antidepressants.
Yes.
And it's
go ahead, sorry.
No, go.
Well, my suggestion is to utilize the time we have to give the right information instead of continuing to say the obvious, which already everybody knows because they're getting the same results as the author of this article. So would you like to actually discuss about what you do with the patient comes to you with menopause? We'll compare notes and let the public decide which direction is better.
I would love that. That's a great idea. And
okay.
Yes, that's a great idea. So why not you begin?
Sure. Well, when a patient comes to me and she's in the range between, let's say, 48 and 52, that's usually when things start to happen. Meaning what? Progesterone starts to decline first. That's the first thing that happens. So what happens is now we become what we call estrogen dominant. Okay. That inequality of the ratio between estrogen and progesterone that exists in a normal cycle. And by the way, the progesterone quantity in relationship to estrogen, if you take a 28-day cycle and you measure it right at day 24, you're going to find that you have about 100 to 200 times more progesterone than estrogen normally. And why is that? Because estrogen is a pretty strong hormone. It's a building hormone, a proliferative hormone, that actually tells the uterus to get ready for pregnancy by increasing the lining, tells the breast to start getting ready for lactation, breastfeeding. If ovulation and fertilization and implantation had occurred, okay, at day 24, we have much higher progesterone because progesterone tells the estrogen, okay, stop stimulating growth. It changes the lining of the uterus from growing type of tissue to more circulatory tissue that secretes a variety of nutrients to support the implantation of the fertilized egg. Okay. So what happens is, as get into the perimenopausal, menopausal years, the testosterone start to decline, the ratio start to decline, and now we're having what? Irregular periods, PMS. We have started to have other flashes. Okay. So when women at that stage come to see me, you know, I listen to them very carefully. You know as well as I do that 95% of diagnoses are being made when we listen to the story. The blood test and the urine test, excuse me, and any other test, are just to confirm what you already know from the conversation. So what I find is that at this juncture, before we go what I call full menopause, that estrogen also goes down. Progesterone by itself usually suffices for about a year or two. It all depends on Godzilla, doesn't it? But just adding in progesterone all of a sudden gets them, oh my God, I have my life back. Okay? But that's a transition usually. And as they move forward and estrogen start to fall, they come back, oh, something happens, I'm not happy. Again, everything we just talked about. Mm-hmm. The clinician needs to assess what phase are we in? What are we talking about? And everybody, is, as you said, is different. Some women would not have this declined progesterone before estrogen. It goes together. Everything is a little, everybody is a little different. So the clinician has to be diversified in knowledge to see, okay, where are we falling? What group are we in? Who we belong to? And plan the therapy according to what's happening to that specific patient. And you say, well, let's do bloods. Okay, we do bloods. But as you know, the normal variance between high and low of any hormone is so vast that really many times it really doesn't tell us the story, as you well know. So I so strongly believe that listening to the patient's complaint, yes, and verifying it with hormone or saliva, whatever method of urine that you want to do, just to kind of complete or complement your initial impression, because you listen very carefully, then you can actually target and tailor the therapy exactly to what the patients complain about. And as you know, with your patients, that you give them the right therapy within 2 to 3 to 4 weeks max, all of a sudden they have a different life.
They have a different personality.
Absolutely. Everything,
everything right. Different. They sleep better. They feel more relaxed. They feel calmer. Their brain works better.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say something, throw something out there, and that some people might not appreciate. I don't think menopause, as we experience it, is normal and natural. I think that menopause is an exaggeration of this very stressful lifestyle that we live. And I think that part of dealing with menopause, yes, is hormones, and I think they're essential. And I wouldn't be without them, nor would I deprive someone of them. But I think that it's a broad picture of health. It's a picture of your bowels working correctly to move the hormone, literally the hormone which is bound in the liver and then put into the bowel to move it out of the body before it's reabsorbed again. It has to do with sleeping adequately. It has to do with, it's a full, whole, entire program of health that allows the hormones to work, allows your body to absorb them appropriately, and you can then, or the individual can then, shine with the assistance of the hormones. It's not just one thing. And what I found is that people in the city work so hard. They work themselves into the ground very, very often. And then menopause hits them like a sledgehammer. Absolute horror. Hormones can create a large portion of that balance. It can give the balance back, but it has to be combined with good overall body habits, with good sleep, with good nutrients, with good bowels, and also with a good sex life. Nothing better than to put your hormones back together than have a good sex life. And you find that everything begins to feel more balanced.
I agree with you 100% that a lifestyle is as important as supplementing hormones. Yeah, you mentioned sleep. In holistic medicine, I can tell you categorically that sleep is more important than food. And yet, how many people have insomnia? How many people wake up in the middle of the night and can't fall asleep? How many people wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and cannot fall asleep again? How many people wake up in the middle of the night and start reading or walking around or do the dishes or do the laundry?
I hear that all the time.
All the time. And because why? Because they said to me, well, how long can I stay at the ceiling? After a while, I get out of bed. Well, okay, well, this is the kind of items that the clinician needs to address and find out. Well, what is it? Is it, do we need to give melatonin? Do we need to give CBD? Do we need to discover what kind of emotions are going on? What kind of stresses are going on? What unresolved issues we have? Why, you know, this goes directly into the lifestyle and stress you mentioned in the city. That we're now stressed 24/7, even when we sleep. And that affects everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we need to first and foremost, we need to bring into the consciousness of our patients to let them know they're not losing their mind, they're just suffering the consequences of 21st century living and not being able or not knowing how to balance their life and give their body what it needs to stay healthy. So I agree 100%. This is a whole program. It's just, here's a prescription, have a nice day, I'll see you back in 2 months.
6 minutes. Exactly. And it can't be done in just a couple of minutes. I remember when I was, majority of my practice was working with hormones, and I would get phone calls a lot, and I'd have to return them, and I'd be going, oh my gosh, how can I do this? I have to pull all these charts, I have to go through them, find their protocol, and then I have to call them back and make suggestions based on this. And I said to myself, how do OBGYNs do this? Well,
they don't.
They do and don't. They don't because they only have two or three hormone balancing or hormone treatments that they give out. If you don't fit into those, you're not on hormones. So they don't have problems like that trying to figure out how you balanced or massaged or regulated this to make it work for this patient and how you made it work for that patient. You don't have to remember all that all the time because you're not making it work. Either you fit into the protocol or you don't get the help you need. I remember when I, years ago, when natural hormones were just beginning, I had a psychiatrist send me his patients. And I called him up and I said, oh, well, thank you very much. And it's surprising that a psychiatrist would send me patients to work on hormones. And he said, well, I've seen a couple of your patients and we go through problems and they hold. Whereas patients who are not hormonally balanced, we go through problems and they revert no matter what we work out or try to work out, they revert. And it's very frustrating. So it's so much better when they're on hormones because they can hold the changes because they feel calmer inside. They feel more focused. They feel more in the game.
Yeah, I think that we have discussed various ways for women to insist on getting the right therapy.
Well, you know, the end of this article, and I felt so bad when I finished the article. Carol sent it over to me. I felt so bad. She's on synthetic hormones. And so that's the way it ended.
I don't recall the end of it. Did she actually say
she was on
better?
She was on synthetic hormone therapies, and yes, that's what she opted for. She didn't really speak about.
Did she report if she feels better on it or not?
Oh. I started on low-dose birth control pills. I'm convinced, and those close to me are convinced, that my brain is more glitch-free. I have no hot flashes, and most surprising to me, and the main reason for that improvement in cognition, my sleep has improved. So even the low-dose birth control pill is better than nothing.
Mm-hmm. Even though it's not good, but it's better than nothing. I agree with that.
It's better than nothing. And look, she feels better. But I felt bad that she got second best or less than that. So.
Well, maybe she's listening to this transmission. Maybe she'll investigate it more, and at least for her own, because I doubt if she can publish it because it goes against the grain.
Uh-huh. So thank you, Dr. Dekel. This is lovely, always, as always, speaking with you.
I'm very happy you brought this topic to bear, because we just can't talk enough about it and just definitely give some solution to our people.
Well, we're going to...
For the invitation.
Oh, my pleasure. We're going to speak about it more over the year. I think one thing we didn't bring up is how insulin affects all of this. So that literally, what we started to do and what we did is we put it back into our own laps for us to take control. That's essential for us to understand that we're in control. So that's another topic. But Dr. Dekel, what could you give out your phone number and your website?
Sure, the website is very simple. It's like my name, Dr. Dekel, drdekel.com. And the office number is 843-422-8328. You can just do research, Dr. Dekel. Yeah, I've been around for 40-some years. You'll find me. Not a problem.
Thank you for spending this time with us.
My pleasure. Have a great evening. And
definitely. Bye-bye.
Be good. Bye-bye.
No, I don't want to be. Bye-bye. Well, that was it. I thought it was really a excellent interview, but the sound was very challenging. So I want to apologize about it. It might be worth going to the archive and listening to it, because there's so much good information in that interview. You might have missed things while the sound was not that good. So the number to call is 212-209-2877. Give us a call. Tell us what you're experiencing. Carol?
Hello. You know, I'm so glad you brought Dr. Dekel in, because I think it's really important for people to know that there are doctors out there just like him, and they're not locked into this protocol or a flow chart. The North American Menopause Association teaches people to be menopause experts, but they completely leave out this whole other picture.
Yeah, so natural hormones. They give you only the prescription hormones and how to work the prescriptions on which patient. They don't give you the options. Go on.
Right, and what really struck me too was that he said that when he was in medical school, he believed that medroxyprogesterone acetate was progesterone. And nothing could be further from the truth.
I know. Well, when he was in medical school, progestin was just developed. It was not that long.
No, I remember when it came up very well.
Uh-huh. And he was, and the same with him. So they were making the comparison that it was the same, almost like a bioidentical. Totally inaccurate. The number to call is 212-209-2877. Join the conversation. We're here. We don't have lots of time because we wanted to spend time with Dr. Jekyll, but we have time to answer some questions.
The other thing, remember the announcement from earlier. I'd like to do it again. We had a fundraiser with Jeff Bowles on his book about COVID and the 16 puzzle pieces on how to solve it. It's been banned by Amazon, and he was offering it as a premium for donations for WBAI listeners. He's given me this email. The banned COVID book at gmail.com. You can use it immediately, and he will respond with the PDF of his book. It's quite a long book. I think it's 400 pages. So it's well worth the read. It's, a lot of thought and research has gone into this. So if you haven't donated by now, you still can. Call 212-209-2950 and donate $25 and then go and immediately use the email to get your premium. It's bannedcovidbook@gmail.com.
And you can have that book and be reading it by the end of the day because it'll come right out over to you. And it's very important information. First of all, it explains about epidemics throughout the ages and what we did with them and how they passed and how they grew. It also explains about COVID. And then it explains therapies, one for COVID, but one that is essential to understand. And that's our own body's immune system and how to work with it. So it works optimally. Our bodies were made to resist viruses. Surprise, surprise. They were made to resist viruses. But we don't give it a chance because we're not maintaining our health in the way that we should be. So get this book. Understand this book. Yes, it's long, but it's not a difficult read. And there's a lot of understanding in there. It was written for practitioners, but also it was written for lay people. And it's worth every minute of your time that you're reading it. My goodness, we're coming to the end of our time. We've got 4 minutes. Do you have a question? Give us a call if you do. The number to call, 212-209-2877. But the number to donate is 212-209-2950. Understand, this is the honor system. Everything in this radio station is based on the honor system. One
the fact that we maintain and we do fundraisers. You've gotten and received 24/7 for years, and then you're asked to donate for
quickly, Corinne, we have a caller holding.
Hi, this is a quick question. Hi, your name, please, and speak quickly because we just have two or three minutes.
Daryl Nickworth in Bronx, New York.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. May I call you Corinne and
Carol.
Oh, gosh, we're having that trouble again. Carol. Carol and Corinne. Once again, thank you so much for having Dr. Deckel on. Do you remember Utrecht Lead, the producer and I think general manager of WBAI?
I'm sorry, I didn't know him. When I came to BAI 23 years ago, Bernard White was the general manager.
Right, and he was program director actually. And Utrecht came in around 2000. Well, anyway, she was very sick 6 years ago, had terminal cancer, stage 4, and she came back from that. And now she relapsed and remitted, I should say, and has terminal kidney disease. And so what we want to do is, because she was a very strong member of WBAI, we want to make sure that she's remembered and do outreach. So that's one thing. Two, is there a web page in which I can get information on the proprietary supplements? Because you all you all suggest to us certain supplements that are proprietary, that are much better than going to the local store and getting Nature's Bounty. And what I'm looking for is, A, something I can afford, and also, you know, if that's available, if you can do comparisons to until you can afford what's best for you.
Well, I must tell you that's a very long question. The answer, and we just don't have time for that. I wish you had called earlier. We could have at least started the answer, but right now we can't.
Actually, on your supplement question, check out my website, thewellnessbydesignproject.com.
And Carol, also, folks, we need a better phone system at BAI because it took me almost two minutes before the phone rang. So let's give the money up. Get the book.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. And I want to thank Dr. Deckel, although I know he's not listening right now. I want to thank you, Carol. And we'll be back next week. We'll have better sound also. Something went wrong with our recorder. I don't know what it is. We'll figure it out by next week. Thank you again.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.